Today's scripture is from the book of Luke. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to meet with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city, who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating at the Pharisee's house, brought in an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears, and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, and that she is a sinner." Well, Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." "A certain creditor has two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now which of them loved him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You've judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence she has shown great love. But the one to whom this little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities: Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. This is the word of God for the people of God.
It's a real privilege and a great responsibility to be asked to talk with you this morning about the power of forgiveness. I have been a member of this church for a little bit less than a year. Moved here from Tennessee. I'm a retired dentist. Somebody asked me this morning, "What does that doctor stand for?" Would be better if it said Jerry Brewster, DDS. I'm not a philosopher or a veterinarian or whatever. I'm just a retired dentist. And I was pleased to join a beautiful church. And I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the people of the church or the church, and we meet in a pretty facility. I would almost prefer that the wording on the sign out there read, "The Hope United Methodist Church convenes here and goes out doing ministry," because I think we have a beautiful church here to be a partner with. We have the fortunate We're very fortunate to have two pastors who are very good at putting their thoughts together in a logical order. And so as you sit and listen, it makes a lot of sense. You're going to have to work a little harder this morning. I read a long time ago the percentage of what the pastor says or the message is, and what percentage of that is presentation and what is receiving. So if you drop off for a while and come back on and it doesn't make sense, then somebody else may have to explain it to you. I'm not going to tell you anything that you don't already know, but maybe it's something that I can say in a little bit different manner or a little different way that may help you to look at forgiveness in a different way and give you a different side on it. Forgiveness is not grace. If forgiveness is grace, it is not fairness. I'm going to read from Leviticus now the laws that were given forth by Moses. And I want you to see how close this comes to our present legal system. Compare it. Anyone who takes another person's life must be put to death. Anyone who kills another person's animal must pay for it in full. A live animal for the animal that was killed. Anyone who injures a person must be dealt with according to the injury inflicted. Fracture for a fracture. An eye for an eye. A tooth for a tooth. Whatever anyone does to injure another person must be paid back in kind. Whoever kills an animal must pay for it in full. But whoever kills another person must be put to death. This same standard applies to native-born Israelites and to the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God. Prior to these instructions, vengeance really had no limit. A person might lose an arm, and the vengeance that came forth might be to kill a whole clan or a whole tribe. So this that we're reading here is an improvement. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is fairness, but it's not forgiveness. Philip Yancey said, and what's so amazing about grace, most ethicists would agree with the philosopher Kant, who argued that a person should be forgiven only if he deserves it. But the very word forgive contains the word give, just as the word pardon contains the domum or gift, like grace. Forgiveness has about it the maddening quality of being undeserved, unmerited, and unfair. Thus, forgiveness is almost by definition unfair. And we pride ourselves on being fair. Oh, we teach it to the children. Now, listen, son, let him play with the toys for a while. Don't hog him now. Let's be fair about this. Or you can talk about someone and say, you know, Bill, you better watch him when you get to dealing with things. Now, I like to be fair, but he doesn't even know the meaning of the word fair. We really work toward the ideal of fairness. In Romans 12, Paul gives admonitions to hate evil, to be joyful, live in harmony, do not be conceited. And then this verse appears. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Forgiveness is an act of faith, trusting God to be a better justice maker than I could be. You see, I release my right to get even. And there's that fairness situation again. I release my right to get even and leave the issues to God to work out. Though the wrong does not disappear, it removes its grip on me. But let's admit, when we do this, that we're risking that God will not deal with that person as we might want. We've got to recognize that. Forgiveness is not the same as pardon. I may forgive one who has wronged me and still insist on a just punishment for that wrong. But the command is to forgive 77 times or 70 times 7 or a little number that basically translates to an unlimited number of times. As long as the person repents and continues trespassing against me. But if I can bring myself to the point of forgiveness, this forgiveness will release its healing power in me over the release of the person who wronged me. Lewis Smedes points out, the first and often the only person to be healed by forgiveness is the person who does the forgiveness. We forgive. We set a prisoner free, and then we discover that the prisoner that is set free is us. Have you ever thought of what life would be like with no forgiveness? How it would operate? With all feuds passed on, with each child holding a grudge, moving up the chain as we get older to school and work issues, nations and tribes never claim forgiving. I can give you two words which would describe it. Road rage. That's total unforgiveness. I think this morning the news was that there were 20 people killed in a club last night or someplace in Florida because of a domestic dispute, I think. That's total unforgiveness. The only remedy for the inevitability of history repeating is forgiveness. Otherwise, we're trapped in trying to get even, and you get even, and I get even, and it's an endless thing. Forgiveness has the power to halt this cycle of blame and pain if we will use it. Forgiveness is not a spiritual gift, which Paul lists in several places, but it's more than that. It's an attribute of God. Genesis tells us that God created us in God's image. We display attributes of our parents. Oh, I've stood with my wife, Fern, many times and had young ladies walk in the door and somebody would say, "Oh, you don't have to point out to me which one's yours. I can see Fern." We have these attributes. I've had people come to me at times in Tennessee and ask me, "You ever have any relatives that lived in Harriman? We used to have a pastor there. And you remind me of him." And I'd say, "That's my father, because he was a pastor. I have those attributes that he had." We are created in God's image. We have the attributes of God within us. The New Testament tells us that we are created in God's image, and God wants us to act like him. When Jesus first gave the command, "Love your enemies," he added this rationale, "that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." We have the attribute of forgiveness within us, and the failure to use it can really be penalizing. Specifically, we're told, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. We repeat those words, and really, at least for my own part, I don't think that much about it. You know, it's become a thing that we repeat. We know that. We learned it. But Luke tells us, as we forgive our sins, forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Charles Williams in his book states this: "No word in the English language carries a greater possibility of terror than the little word 'as' in that clause." What makes the "as" so terrifying? The fact that Jesus plainly links forgiveness by the Father with our forgivingness of our fellow human beings. Jesus' next remark could not make it more explicit. "If you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." So the power of forgiveness comes in my claiming my wrong, confessing it, and saying, "I did it." That opens my heart to receive God's forgiveness. You see, we have free will in everything except one. We do not have the free will to turn down free will. There's no little end user license agreement that you can uncheck, it ain't there. You can't turn free will down. God never pushes God's will or grace on us. God gave us free will to refuse it. We can and often do turn down God's gifts. God freely forgives our debts if we claim them. We must claim the debt. We must claim the sin. We must claim the wrong in order to accept forgiveness. You see, I do not accept forgiveness for stealing from you until I admit that I did steal from you. We don't accept blame for something that we did not do. Having an unforgiving heart is a sign of alienation and separation from God. A sign that I put myself first. My heart is closed. God's forgiveness cannot come to me in that way because I have closed my heart. In a stewardship seminar that I attended some years ago, we discussed the process of giving and receiving. In the process, there is a giving entity and there is a receiving entity. The gift giving is not completed until the gift is received. That's one of the processes. We didn't recognize it when we were going through it in the seminar, but the instructor gave us some different pieces of information and told us they were on the table and we could receive them. Some of us got them, some of us didn't, for whatever reason. But the gift giving process was not completed for those people who never took the gift. The giving process is fulfilled only when the gift is accepted. And so God forgives us all the time, but we have to accept it. My belief is that God has already forgiven me. To complete the process, I must confess my sin, my fault, and accept this each and every day. The power of forgiveness received makes me whole again, able to live the life that God gave to me and intended that I live. Peter, whose confession that Jesus was the Son of the living God, and this became the rock upon Jesus, what Jesus built his church. He refused to admit 3 different times that he was a follower of Jesus. He betrayed the Lord 3 times in one night. It's hard even to imagine the guilt that Peter must have felt. But he claimed his forgiveness. He claimed it because he admitted that he did it. He repented and received forgiveness. Henri Nouwen says that forgiveness is defined as love practiced among people who love poorly. He describes it this way. I've often said, I forgive you. But even as I said these words, my heart remained angry and resentful. I still wanted to hear the story that tells me that I was right after all. I still wanted to hear apologies and excuses. I still wanted the satisfaction of receiving praise in return, if only praise for being so forgiving. But God's forgiveness is unconditional. It comes from a heart that does not demand anything for itself, a heart that is completely empty of self-seeking. It is this divine forgiveness that I have to practice in my life each day. It keeps me stepping over all of my arguments that say forgiveness is unwise, it's unhealthy, it's not even practical. But it challenges me to step over all my needs for gratitude and compliments. It demands of me that I step over the wounded part of my heart that feels hurt and feels wronged and wants to stay in control and put a few conditions between me and the one who I am asked to forgive. Forgiveness is not easily accomplished. The only thing harder is the alternative. But some people seem to have mastered this attribute. and they express the life of forgiveness. When we find someone like this, become a disciple. Become an apprentice. They have found how to harbor the power of God that is provided for us. May we pray. Father, we come this morning needing forgiveness. We come this morning not really knowing how to use this attribute, the gift that you have given us. Somehow or other, with your love, may we come to understand and claim that you are our God, how you want us to live, and accept that life. In your name we pray. Amen.
We want to thank you for listening to our podcast. If you want to help us share hope in our world, please subscribe, like, or review our podcast, or you can go to our website at hopechangeslives.org. Have a blessed day.